world didn't give it to me. No, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Oh, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. No, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. The world didn't give it to me. All this joy I had, the world didn't give it to me. All this joy I had, the world didn't give it to me. No, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. All this joy I had, the world didn't give it to me.
All this joy I had,
all the world didn't give it to me. All this joy I had, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Well, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. All this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. Well, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. No, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Well, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. All this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. All this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. No, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. All this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. All this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me.
Oh, no, this joy.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told.
Oh! thankful for the opportunity I have to partake in what's going on here. And I know that there's just something about it. There's just something about the joy of the Lord and what He's done for me and what He's done for all of us and how He's filled us with that Holy Spirit. And there's a joy that comes with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, there's a work that the Lord is doing. And I praise God to be a part of it. And you know, sometimes things come in, you know, it's easy to get wrapped up in my own personal life and things I don't like that one person's doing or something someone else is doing. But what can it compare? What can it compare to the joy that is here in this place? But the joy that is here with this people, no matter what I'm going through. Let me tell you, God has a people, and He has always had a people. He has always had a people, people that served Him. Praise God. Praise God. If you look down through the Bible, there was always a line. There was always somebody, even when the world... Even when the whole world had turned against God and against His ways, there was still Noah. There was still Noah, and he still served God. And it touches me. It touches me deep inside. I don't know why, but to know the Lord has always been working in this world. There's always been a plan He's had, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful I'm not one of those people that got wrapped up, lost sight of God. But let me tell you, don't lose sight. Don't lose sight of the Lord. Hold on to Him. No matter how difficult it gets, no matter how much you feel like you can't go on, there's something here. The Lord is doing a work in this body of people, and He's not done yet. The Lord's not done yet. There's a greater work to be done. Praise God. I'm thankful to be a part of this today.
Hallelujah. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect unto according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in the heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Hallelujah. Glory.
tell you what, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, I was thinking about that. Joy unspeakable. You know, flowing up out. And it is something the world has no concept of. But thank the Lord that we do today. Thank the Lord we have a glimpse of that power, that glory, that precious Holy Ghost that's bubbling up inside. That's why we can get excited about these things. We're not just singing songs to sing songs. You know that first, the band number? That always gets me fired up. It does, because, you know, somebody prayed for me. Somebody prayed for me. There was a day that I had that opportunity, because all things work together for the good, right? Of them that love the Lord and are thee called according to His purpose. That's a scripture that I quote often.
Sometimes it's not so easy to really want to put that into practice whenever they don't feel good. But whenever I took for granted this way, when I turned my back on it, but bless the Lord, He gave me that opportunity again. He opened that door back up to me. Thankfully, there is a parable about the prodigal son in this word. Thankfully, there was a day when God, because the children of Israel in this earth today, they didn't forget about their children. They said, no, we've got some out there, and I happen to be one of those. And God wouldn't leave me alone. And bless the Lord, He wouldn't leave me alone. I praise God for that. That's why these songs mean so much more. I'm sad. I'm sad, Sister Inez, that I couldn't be one of those that stayed on the job the entire time. It might have been my calling, but I left that calling. Okay, I went, I took another road. I took the easier road. I took the road out. But thankfully, there was a place but the thing is, the true way was always still here. It just, I lost my way. But thankfully, I had my brothers and my sisters who were praying for me. When Brother Daniels that day, when he came into the buckle and he was talking to me, you know, he wasn't condescending. He was just looking for a bargain. Hey, you know, he got me. I don't know if that was much of a bargain, but I looked at him and he was looking for shirts, and I just said, you know, oh man, the conviction, the condemnation was all over me, and all I said was just, hey, pray for me. And he just said some simple words. He just said, we never stop praying for you. Talk about heavy words right there. Talk about words of conviction. It's like, oh God, where am I right now? I'm in the filth. I'm in the mire. But you know, it's when I hear these songs that help me with the second song that we went through. After somebody prayed for me, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. You know, now I'm, if you're listening to my voice, and I'll say young people, okay, just understand, just know, take my word for it, that the world can't give you any joy. When I hear that song, it has a strong meaning to me. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. Because I know what the world, I went out, I sold this, all right, and I went a different way. I let the world distract me from this way. I let other things take my eyes off the prize, off that high calling. I said, oh, you know, this looks prettier over here. You know, Sister Stewart, and I know Brother Caleb, we have a love for a book, Pilgrim's Progress. You know, and I think often of Vanity Fair. It was a place in Pilgrim's Progress where there was everything known to man that was there. And you got to be careful. When you go through Vanity Fair, you can get caught up in that. And in that book, one of the pilgrims lost their lives there. Okay? The thing is, he was still striving. I had turned away. Vanity Fair had caught my attention. It had got me away from the good things of the Lord. But what I'm going back to on that song is, I didn't have a true joy. You know, I really appreciated what I tell you, Brother Smith. I want to hear more about that relationship that you're talking about, and how to truly depend upon God more so, you know, as Paul called on for that thorn in the flesh. You know, some of the things you were saying today, I was able to say, okay, Lord, he's. I know you say you weren't talking to me, but let me tell you, God was ministering to me today, because I looked at my life and I thought, you know what, I've done that. I've done that in my life. I've done that on my job, just as he was talking about. I've tried to. I had a good father. I have a good father. He has. He's been there for me. But there's an emptiness inside that I've ever tried to seek approval. I mean, whenever I step back and I just look, I see it very plain. At different places that I've went, I've sought father figures. In here in the church, I've done the same thing. And there's a place, I believe, for that. We're to be fathers. We're to be older brothers. We're to help our fellow saints. But there comes a place that God wants that place in my life. God ultimately knows that there's an emptiness, and He's the only thing that can fill that. It can't be with a relationship with anyone else. That relationship has got to be the key. Now, through it, I need to be honoring the ministry. There's a way to do this, but I'm talking about my own personal life right now. I'm saying that when he was talking today, that I was able to see, you know, God, he's right. You know, at the very least for me, that's how I've lived my life. I don't want that, though. You know, I want to put him first. I want that relationship. I don't have the answers. I don't know how to overcome that. I can't overcome it within my own strength as far as to ever look for that figure. How did you use the approval? You were always looking for someone to give we're seeking approval from a father figure or in that capacity. And I was thinking about that more and more on my mind today about, you know, God, I want to seek your approval. I want to truly know what brings that joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want to feel that glory down inside. You know, out here tonight, I mean, I'll be honest, physically speaking, and Chelsea and I even talked about this earlier today, my flesh, but this outward flesh, did not feel like getting out of bed this morning, okay? I felt much older than I am today. And I thought, she said something about, I don't think you'll be running around the church today, will you? And I said, you know what? It will take God, because I'm hurt. I am hurting. And all I did was play frisbee golf, okay? So don't, I'm just saying, my body said, you're out of shape. And I thought, you know what? She's right. There's no way. But when that song came on, somebody prayed for me. You know, now I have a joy this world knows nothing about. When His Spirit touches me, I sing and I shout, okay, I'm free. But what? What am I free from? I am free from the sin of the sin of death, sin and death. I have a different path today. I'm free to be able to get up and to extol God, to exalt Him. I'm free to no longer live by what the world says is how I should live, but how my God says is how to live. To live my life to please Him. Not to be men pleasers, but to lift Him up. To exalt Him, because I want that perfect relationship with Him. That's what I want that maturity in Christ, to be closer to Him. That's who I want to seek. That's whose approval that I need to seek today. If the world says go left, then I'm going to be pretty sure I'm going to be going right, because that's the direction God's going to go. I was thinking about that song, to be free. You know, I want to be free. I need to understand and keep that appreciation for what that freedom really is. I have that freedom, that true freedom, to have peace in my heart. No matter what storms are coming my way, no matter what trials are in my life, as Caleb was mentioning earlier, you know, I can focus on that all day long. I can think about the negative aspects of life. I can get tossed to and fro. But if I'll just keep my eyes on Him, if I'll just keep my relationship clear with Him, if I'll ever be seeking His approval, not anyone else's, and we know, and I don't want to get off on as far as, you know, I'll confess with my heart, you know, God has never sit on my biscuit at breakfast time and give me directions or emails or texts to tell me exactly what to do. I understand working through a ministry. I understand listening to what He's saying. I understand being quiet. I know that might be hard to think I would do that, but I can be quiet and just listen to what he's saying. And what he was talking to me about is, you know what? Take those shackles off. Don't be bound by this world. Don't get caught up in what's going on here. You know, like Elijah had those many things that were going on when he was in that mountain, right? The earthquake and the rocks and the storms. But God wasn't in any of that for him. It was that still, small voice. And then God spoke to him. When I will be quiet and I will listen and I will let God work on my heart. You know, I want to be tender. That's what I have. See, that's one of those freedoms. I have a freedom to be able to be tender to God, to be able to be vulnerable toward Him, to say, you know what, God? There's going to be hurts. There's going to be pains. There's going to be offenses. But He's never failed me, Sister Inez. He's never let me down. He's not going to let me down if I'll just trust in Him and relax in that. And give over to that. And that's another thing I was thinking about when we really talk about freedom, you know, being free indeed. Being free indeed. What my freedom really is, you know, there is such a pull. You know, even today I'm not a youth anymore. But there's still a pull to get distracted away from this. And I was really appreciating what Brother Smith was saying. This is what come to my mind, you know, when he was talking about ages gone by and how society has changed and how when we lived more as a family in communal settings, how there was a stronger, if you want to say, a hedge around the family of God. God, through all the Old Testament, tried to explain to the children of Israel, keep yourself separate. Don't intermingle with these other nations. Don't go and get with the ites of the land. Don't submit to them. Don't listen to them. Don't marry with them. What does that mean for me today? God, examine my heart if I am intermingling my wine with the ites of the land. If I'm giving over, if what I'm doing is, have you ever seen... You know, I know it's against the law, but if you've got a property line, I've heard this so many times. People will build fences, and they'll build them. Their property line might have been right here, but they'll build them on this side. Okay, so in other words, they've got a little bit more. They've now stepped over a bounds. Okay, they're now into someone else's property. Well, what I was thinking about that is that's a device of this world. That's a device of what we can use, and we understand this context of Satan, of the religious world. The boundaries that God has set up, they're all the time pulling up those stakes and moving them further out. No. What you do there, that's not necessary. You can do this. I'm not going to point out any specifics today. I'm not talking to you in relation to what you need to change in your life. You know why? I'm not your judge. I don't know what goes on in your life, but I know that I'm accountable for me. I know that I'm accountable for my family. And I'm concerned if those boundaries, if that hedge that God has put up, am I ever pushing it? Am I ever trying to stretch it a little bit more? Am I trying to find reason to disobey Him? Not just for disobedience sake, but you know what? If I'm ever making allowance, I'm separating myself from Him. I'm not seeking His will. And it's not about the do's and don'ts, but it's about my relationship with Him. It's about me getting closer to God. It's about me seeking Him with all my heart, soul, and mind, my spirit, all that's within me. And if I'm doing that, then God will take care of me. He'll be giving me His approval. And where I'm falling short, where I'm hurting because I can't help that I grew up in this day. I wasn't born 200 or 300 years ago. This is the day I'm in. This is the society I'm a part of. But as Paul prayed for help, if I will lift up my hands and say, God, my thorn in the flesh today, you know what, one of the things, it's this society. I can't, like Brother Smith said, He can't fix this world. It's beyond us to fix it. But if I can just attend to this world right here, if I can take care of this problem right here, if I can continue to bring myself in here and submit myself, I have a freedom to do that. Today, I have a freedom to do that. And it's not but what because we're in the United States. It's not those freedoms I'm talking about. But it's that gift of the Holy Ghost that has opened my eyes enough to see the necessity for it. And if God is dealing with me on that, that's what my calling is today. If I turn away from that, I'm turning away from God once again. It's not in relation to, is so-and-so doing it? Is so-and-so doing that? That's not for me to decide. That's not my place. What my place is, if God says don't, I don't need to. If He says do, I better do. Why? Because I love Him. Because I want to please Him. Because I want His approval. I want to continually seek His face. I want that approval from Him. So I'm bearing my heart from the things that Brother Smith was saying today, that how much I appreciate this opportunity. When we're singing those songs about somebody prayed for me, it means something. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody got down on their knees and called on God to get Him to deal with my hard heart. And thankfully, He said He would not quench a smoking flax or break a bruised reed. He didn't with me. What did He do? He nurtured it. He helped me by the love of God. When I came in here and I had open arms out to me, and see, I don't want to ever focus on that, going back to that. But what that is, that's my starting point, but I don't want to forget about it, though. I want to understand what happened in the past. What did I do? Because part of the importance of history is when you understand history, you can sometimes keep yourself from repeating it. If you have no concept of it, then you potentially will repeat it. I don't want that in my life. God is calling me to a higher calling today. He's calling this church to a higher calling today. We have the highest calling. We are seeking the bride of Jesus Christ. There's no higher calling in the earth today. We are a blessed group of people. I want to lift Him up for that. I want to praise His mighty name because it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because we have that vision. He's given us a vision of the body of Christ. And it's worth shouting about. It's worth lifting Him up for. This is so great of an opportunity. So I don't want to sell it out for my job. I don't want to sell it out for the things of this world. It's more precious than gold. It's more precious than anything. It is the pearl of great price. And I want to lift that up. You know, forgive me. And I truly ask this. When I get up here, you know, when I sit down, you know what? I think, why can't you ever get up and be quiet? I know that makes no sense, right? I mean, why can't you get up there and ask the Lord, Lord, can I read just a couple of scriptures and just, you know, thank you, Lord, and appreciate, you know, and say something profound. Instead, I end up finding myself up here, and I like, you know what, maybe it's the one, like, there's more fingers, and I just didn't know about it. There's a cheerleader in the house of the Lord. If that's, you know, but the thing is, if that's what God wants me to do, if that's how I can lift Him up, if that's how I can praise His name, if that's how I can get a little closer to Him, then that's my calling. That's what He's asking me to do. I can only work within the gifts that I have. And I wanted to get up and I wanted to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for bringing me this way. God, thank you for convicting me. Do not let me get a hard heart. Do not let this world continually tear down those fences and tell me that there's no boundaries. You can do whatever you want. You can be, it just relates to you. It's subjective. Hey, do whatever you want. What makes you feel good? God forbid that I yield myself to that type of thinking. God forbid. Brother Smith, I appreciated also what Sister Crow said. You know what? There's so much political correctness in this world today. We're walking around on our tippy toes. I can't say anything wrong. You know, please, I would hope that I know my brothers and sisters in here have enough charity. If I say something, I promise you, I'm not up here preaching at you. What I'm doing is I'm confessing with my heart that, God, I want you. I want you, Lord. I want more of you and less of me. I'm tired. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of being that person. I want victory. Don't you want victory in the camp? We have victory in the camp when we keep our eyes on Him. I have victory in the camp whenever I understand the sword of the Spirit. When I keep on, when I have that shield of faith, when I have the breastplate of righteousness. They're not just words in the Bible. What are they? They're practical application that I can protect myself from the wiles of this world, from getting my eyes somewhere else, getting distracted over here, seeing this over there. I'm asking the Lord, God, I want more of you. Convict me, Lord. You know, whatever it would be. I don't want to take His love for granted. I don't want to take even the convictions that have been put down in my heart. I appreciate those things. I appreciate it because as I walk around at just on my job, even shopping the other day, it's getting stronger and stronger out there as far as the spirit of this world. You know, there was a day when if you went to a mall, it was a place to get clothes. I mean, it was no big deal. But the other day when we were in there trying to find some clothes, there was such a spirit there of it was like an attitude, a blatant disregard for holiness. Everything is fine. Seek your own. Seek what you want. Glorify yourself. God forbid. I don't want that in my life. I want to seek His will. I want to lift Him up. I want to praise His name. So I was thinking about, when Caleb mentioned about Noah, I appreciate this. It made me think about when Jesus used this, talking about the last days in Matthew 24 and 36. He said, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And I understand that this context here relates back to that day. But what I want to go on is, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." What I'm using that for, just in this context, is that's the way this world is today. Once again, it's darkness out there. But I believe, and the ministry here can help me. But is it in Galatians where it talks about he'll come as he comes as a thief of the night? First Thessalonians 5 it talks about he'll come as a thief in the night, but not to us. Because why? Because we're children of the light. But you know, I want to be diligent so I'm not like these people in Noah's day. I want to have my eyes open. I want to be watching and praying and seeking Him. I want to be like those five wise virgins who had the oil, who understood that He was coming. You know, He's coming for me every day. If I'll let Him work on me, if I'll let Him help me to kill a little bit more of that flesh, if I will submit myself a little bit more, if I will quit taking myself off the altar when it starts to burn a little bit, when I start to smell that flesh and I'm like, "Oh wait, that's me," and then I take myself off the altar because it hurts a little bit, all it is that's burning is that flesh. But if I'll just stay on the altar, if I'll just give myself over wholly to God and keep my eyes on Him and as much as He's dealing with me in, I'll be able to take that one step closer to Him. I'll be able to get one more step closer. And if it's one more step today, then I'm that much closer, ain't I? If it's another day goes by and I'm another step closer, I'm one more step closer to Him. So I wanted to get up here because it truly excited me to hear these words of joy, to hear this passion in our hearts, because we serve the living God. Who is it? Was it not a song we sang today about what was that about being awake? There was something about maybe Brother Smith had mentioned something, but what's that? No, it's about I can't remember what it was now, but someone related to, or I thought it was in a song about being awake. Maybe it was in the ministering, and I was thinking about when that was said about Elijah when he was there with the prophets of Baal, and he was basically making fun of him a little bit, saying, you know, is your God on vacation? Is he asleep? Wake him up. What's going on? And I thought about that as, you know what? We serve a God that is ever aware of us. There's they were all asleep. It was today. I just can't remember what it was in relation to. I thought it was a song. I don't think that one was. That's a good one too. Okay, look. Sometimes in my mind, maybe I hear things, and maybe it's the Lord just putting these little words. I don't know. Y'all pray for me on that, okay? But in relation to being awake, I was just really thinking about how he's ever there. He's ever there for you and I. He's never asleep. There's never a time when we have a busy signal with God. There's never a time when you run out of the Wi-Fi area. I'm trying to relate it back to, come on guys, okay? That's it right there. So I lift mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. Lord, which from heaven and earth. And what's that last part? Will not slumber. I didn't think I was totally crazy. I mean, you know. Will not slumber, will not sleep. That's a promise to us right there. He's not slumbering today. He's not down on the job. He's not going, oh, I got to take a vacation because, man, I'll tell you what, I am tired. That's not our God. He's not giving up. He's not tired. He's not worn out. He is just as fresh today. He is ready. He is saying, he's calling to us. Hey, where are you at? Wake up today. I think about, quit ye like men. Stand up for me today. This world of sin is coming out. What am I going to do? Am I going to go to sleep? Am I going to let those shackles be put back on me? Am I going to say, I'm tired, Lord. I don't have time for you today, Lord. I'm weak, Lord. I don't want to, Lord. Or am I going to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. What are you asking of me, Lord? Is it too hard? Not if he asked me to do it. Not if he asked me to do it, because I can look to the hills from which cometh my help. I can look for him to strengthen me. I can get that strength from him. Why? Because he doesn't ever sleep. He's never tired. He's never away. He's always there. All I have to do is call on him. Do you need a touch today? Do you need something deeper inside? Is there something bothering you? Is your soul hurting today? Are you sick? What do you need? All we have to do is call on him. All we have to do is lift up our hands and surrender to him and say, Lord, I don't have the strength, but you do. And, you know, I don't even want to say so much of that. I don't have the strength in me other than I do have the gift of the Holy Ghost. If I will just yield over to that, if I will just say, God, lift me up in you, Lord. That's what I want today. I want more of you. So I just wanted to get up here today and say, hey, we do have something to shout about. We do have something to lift his name about, because somebody has prayed for each and every one of us. And you know what? There's still going to be those prayers. The prayers are still coming forth. Every day, I'll say that I haven't done as good of a job as I can do, but my wife thought of a cool thing, and you know, it's sad that I'm going to need this kind of tool to do this. But whatever I can use to help me get one step closer to Him, and to help me think a little bit more about my brothers and sisters. Okay, basically they're tongue depressors, right? Popsicle sticks, and we're gonna write the names of my brothers and sisters on those, and we're gonna take those. And it's not, you know, it's just to remind us. Maybe I'll pray for your popsicle stick today. I want to lift your name up to Him today. That's just a reminder. It's just something to say, God, you're helping me, but let me help someone else. Let me pray for someone else. Let me lift someone else's name up. Let me help them today just by thinking a little bit more of you. Because He's going to help me in me doing that. So if I seem to have rambled a little bit, please forgive me. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 is a great chapter. Charity suffereth long and is kind. So I'm looking for the kind part from my brothers and sisters. But I appreciate being here. I appreciate getting this opportunity. You know, I'm telling you, I've taken this for granted. I've turned my back on Him. And He's shown me mercy after mercy after mercy. Great is His faithfulness. Great is His faithfulness to me. I should be dead right now. I shouldn't be here. I've been blessed with a wonderful wife. I've been blessed with children. I've been blessed with a church where I can hear the oracles of God. Bless the Lord. We are blessed today. Praise His mighty name. He is worthy of it. So I will quit wearing out the saints of the Most High God, but I want to say I'm thankful to be here and that I really do appreciate this way. Brother Smith, bring it on with that relationship stuff. I want to hear some more because I need some more help.
Jump because I thought of it. You may not understand that. You're not that old, maybe. I jerk sometimes just by the thought of things. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I feel so good. I don't know if I can explain it or not, but aren't you thankful for what's happening to our young people? We have some young people and some leaders of young people that are making some difference. And I thank God for the wisdom of Brother Smith that has, let me say, organized this order. Way of our church working, and look how our children are growing. And if you're here and looking around right now, I looked around and almost all of the young people and everybody had their attention on Brother just speaking, and that's wonderful. And the words he was speaking was my very thoughts, and how I think. I don't know for how long, but a long time, I've had a craving since I learned about the Holy Ghost and its significance, and I don't know how to say it, but the Holy Ghost is necessary for a Christian. That's just the whole of it. But we get down to teaching how we should behave and how we should not do, and a lot of the do's and don'ts. And I don't mean that's just like it may sound. I'm not condemning the way anybody preaches. Preach on. Let the Lord use you. But I'm thinking about a lot of us because it's my experience. And that's all I can speak from. I know what I've lived and I've been through and how it's affected me. like today, I couldn't get my mind off of it because Brother Smith was talking about these effects, and such as the inferiority complex. And actually, everybody has some kind of an inferior complex, unless you're an awfully bold person, maybe like some cholerics, but you know, even a choleric can have an inferiority complex. But his very aggressiveness is to hide his inferiority. You see what I mean? And so everybody is affected by it, and some of it ought to be. We ought to back up. We ought to step back and not be so blunt and bold and offensive, without respect of other people and offending them. And it can get that way, can't it? But my Lord, aren't we learning some good things? But my point I want to bring out, and I don't know if I'll ever get off this subject because it's been bothering me for years. It's because I had a very difficult time seeking the Holy Ghost, and I'm not going to go repeating that. I talked about it so much years ago that I don't think anybody wants to hear it again. But it was so hard for me to get the Holy Ghost that when I did get the Holy Ghost, I was a changed man immediately. Because all those years that my family, all of them, the youngest and the oldest, all had the Holy Ghost, and my cousins and everybody had the Holy Ghost, and I was still going to church with them, and still seeking the Holy Ghost and still not getting it. So you talk about an inferiority complex. I had a complex that God didn't love me. I got so close to the Holy Ghost that the ones all around me were speaking in tongues and I was mocking them. They was telling me what to say, and I could say it. But I was listening to myself. I didn't know how to get it. And I got so discouraged because I couldn't get it, I just began to develop the idea that what's the use? God doesn't love me. Well, I fell in love with the sweetest girl I ever found. And I got more of my mind on her than the Holy Ghost and God or anybody else. My grades in school dropped. All I wanted to do is write notes to her. Even when I decided that she was too young for me to press on dating her, already one minister told her daddy to break me up with her. That's all I was looking for was her. I wasn't had my mind on the Lord at all. He was right. But I'm telling you, I was stuck. Going to church was all I had. I didn't have any other past fire. But I fooled around the church and got in trouble a lot because I wasn't paying attention, making other people laugh around. And so I got a little despicable and embarrassed, made my parents, and I think it discouraged them quite a bit. But then many other things happened in the church and the body and shook them out. Anyway, so in all that shaking, I got to thinking, well, Joyce is too young, and I didn't think I was too young. I was about 18, 19. Old enough to get married. Well, I knew some people that had, you know. So you justify yourself. But I don't know if my dad or somebody talked to me and got me to thinking, you need to put this off. She's a little too young. She needs to finish school, and so on and so forth. I'm sorry, Joyce. But I love you, and I want to tell this story so some it might help somebody to know why I want to focus on the Holy Ghost and why the Holy Ghost has to be your first ambition, at least until you get it. And there's more to it than that. There's a baptism, and there's meaning in that. And it's needful that we find out how God deals with us. And listen to the ministry. And if God is God and he calls out ministers, and what I want to say with all my heart, I think Brother Smith is as good a minister we've ever had. And I don't think there's a better one in the body. Honestly, I feel that way. And I'm not wanting to just glorify him for a favor, but I want to tell you that I've been to ministers' meetings. I've been to all of them, and I've seen the quarrels and the fights and all of that. I've seen people fist fight. Big men, leading men. We have the best ministry right now I've ever seen in my life. I want to tell you. And we've united with another side of the body of Christ that was separated from us. And I'm telling you, they're so patient and waiting on each other. And trying not to offend, but to reach out and find out what can we deal with and work with to help improve the body. If we can't stand to talk about the devil, we need to leave it alone for a while. And that's what they're doing. Because when they talked about the devil, he showed up. And you know what I mean, don't you? Well, they're still trying. They're still wanting to build and develop a better order and a method of operating and strive to hold a unity. Is that all right, Brother Smith? And I'm just saying that because this body is the most wonderful place I believe there is in the world. In this body, I'm just going to use it that way. But this church is to me, it's a leading church because we got a leading man. You know, that's something to be thankful for. And I watched him. Forgive me, Brother Smith, if you want to correct me, stop me, or whatever, I'm correctable. I submit to you. But I'll just drop all that. I'm getting too deep in all of my thinkings. But my emphasis for those that, at least if you don't see it, and especially if you don't have the Holy Ghost, or if you even doubt in it, the Holy Ghost is the thing that's going to carry you. And it's going to lead you as much as you yield to it. And here we are, we're trying to get in the Spirit. That's why we reach out here and praise the Lord. And it's necessary. If you don't get excited Can you tell how Brother Fisher gets excited about it? He's excited about it. He's got a vision. And he wants more people to see it, especially you young people. The Holy Ghost is a necessity. You can't, I read it one time, maybe the last time I talked, because it's always on my mind, that all things work together for the good. And Brother Smith added the next verse, which I can't quote it right now, but it's even better. It's even better. And it gave me the idea that God's watching over us. He's watching our growth. He's not going to sleep on us. God's watching you. When you get the Holy Ghost, God expects you to hang on. Hang on. Put your faith in Him. What's better? Tell me something that's better to put your faith in. No better worry, no better reason to serve the Lord. It's the greatest privilege. It's the greatest thing you can attain to. And let God lead you. We've got to practice that. We've got to learn to seek God. Where is it? It's in Matthew 10 or something. It said, he said, ask. Now, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, ask. And then he said, seek also. And he said also, knock. What's that mean? If you don't have the Holy Ghost, start asking, seeking, and knocking. It took me 32 years to get there from baby. But now I see. Now I know that God loves me. I want to tell you something. I was happy one time, back before I even moved here. Didn't have the Holy Ghost, but I was happy because all my families and almost all our relatives were in the body of Christ. And many of them were in our church there that my dad built. And Brother Souders died, and changes started to take place. Ministers were moving, some going, some coming. A lot of changes. And I got to growing up, and my mind got off of seeking the Holy Ghost. And I lacked that for a while. I thought, not what's the use? I can't get it, and it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to have a running nose and nobody there to wipe your nose, and you just look awful. It'll burn up your pride, I'll tell you. Or it'll make you quit striving, which I did. But I didn't quit church because I had a girlfriend. Thank God for my girlfriend and Brother Tucker for letting me keep going with her. It helped me to stay in the body of Christ. Now, as far as I know, of all my relatives, there's only two other ones in the body of Christ. And they're in St. Louis, there with Brother... Okay, what's his name? He was my pastor for a while. Anyway... People, young people, and let's all pray for our young people that are not very active and maybe or maybe not. I hate to say this, but we can tell that some people don't have the Holy Ghost but think they did. And that might not be a good thing to sound to say about, but I don't want to put you doubt. If you've got the Holy Ghost, then I suggest that you pray until you speak in tongues again. Verify it. Make sure you know it. You need to know that you've got the Holy Ghost, because You're not going to get very far in the Lord if you don't have the Holy Ghost. If you keep holding it back, not letting it work for you, you're not praising it, you're not thanking for it, you're not blessing the Lord, you're not using it, and you'll finally just get backslid so much you don't have any Holy Ghost. Some say you can't lose it once you've got it, but you can sure let it get weak, and it won't do much for you. But what we need to do is seek the Lord. We need to seek that Holy Ghost. And I think it's Romans 7 or 8. It's 8. Yeah. It's in Romans 8, probably just a little bit before that, Romans 20. It's about 12, the 12th verse, I think, where he said, walk in the Spirit. We need to learn to walk in the Spirit all the time. And we're supposed to be prayerful all the time. How can you get in the Spirit if you don't pray and you don't talk to God and ask God, worship Him, thank Him, ask Him to forgive you? Daily, read the Lord's Prayer. My goodness, you should think about that every day. Because we probably have a little sin every day. You may not even know it's a sin, but sins can be just thoughts. Just a thought can be a sin. It's not as bad as acting it out, maybe, but a thought dwelt on very long will become a sin. It'll be lust. So we need the Holy Ghost, and we need to put it to work. And we need to get to where we feel it and we know it, so it gets us excited again. Amen? Have you been noticing what's been being taught? There, to what I feel is our ministry, and I'm, of course, Brother Smith, but the other younger brothers are also admonishing us to press in somehow. In many ways they've described it. And I feel like I want to help. That's why I jumped and why I submitted the jump and got up here. And if I need to, I want to be forgiven for holding back and not speaking when I might. I'll be frank enough to confess that I have a problem with short-term memory. I can forget your name in a minute, just in a minute. Until about I sit down, I remember then. It's slow. It seems like my brain is slowing down. But it's still working. I want you to know it's still working. And I still believe what we're being taught, the whole body. But I'd like to see them. Wouldn't we all like to see them in unity? In unity. Brother, I believe if we ever see that, we'll have the truth. We'll have the truth settled. I trust that God will do it. But we're on our way. I believe we're on our way. And I'm telling you what I think. This is about the highest place in the body to me. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but we all ought to have a high respect for our church. And many of you have been to some meetings. Do you see anything any better? This church, we've got a wonderful church. We've been in the body a long, long time. We've had some of the greatest ministers in this church leading this church. Some of the best ministers, leading ministers. I might confess something else. When I was put in as pastor, don't know how to say this, but I felt like a needle in a haystack compared to the other ministers. And I wondered, oh God, why did you do this to me? I don't need to be. But I had so much trouble as Brother Liniger and then would talk to me and encourage me to accept it. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to disobey. If they feel like I need to be in that position, you'll need to help me. You'll have to help me, Lord. And I'll tell you, I suffered going through that period of time with a feeling of not an ability to satisfy the needs of the church in several different ways. And it bothered me a lot. But, you know, I prayed and I said, God, I'm here because I was put here by your ministry. And I'm trying to do what I can do. And I tried to teach what would help and so on. And I felt some resistance. I felt all those things. But I don't know how much all ministers, I guess, go through some things. But I prayed. I said, God, if I'm not in the right place, you move me. Somebody else was praying. I bet that a whole lot of this church was praying. And I've told a story about how God dealt with me after Brother Liniger died, and what we went through, and the church began to diminish in numbers and in income to support it. And I suffered a great deal in that, of losing a lot. But I still was seeking and asking God. And I don't know, it takes too long to tell all this, but I recall meeting some of the last words Brother Liniger said to me. I said, Brother Liniger, what should I do if this church is going down? He said, well, I said, who should I look to? And I asked him about several brothers. And he said, well, now Brother Smith is probably the closest to me and teaches like I do. And he said, I'd suggest that you go talk to him. See if you can get him to help you a little bit. He'll come and help you. Well, from that, I'm not going to tell all the details, but it worked out that I went with Brother Smith, with him to Dominican Republic. And right there is when I watched and got well acquainted with Brother Smith. And to be frankly, I was a man of probably some pride in me, but I was a little jealous of Brother Smith. Can you imagine that? It should have been. He was with Brother Liniger more than I was, and he had more understanding of what Brother Liniger was teaching than I had. And I was jealous of it. And when I got down there, and he began to teach, I think just two or three at first. But while we was there, there was other ministers started coming in while he was teaching them. And I was reading the Bible and reading the scriptures for him. And it got so rich, I was understanding it better as he taught it. And that jealousy just slipped away. I was just so glad. I was getting it better than I ever did. And I don't know, maybe it was just God or him dealing with me and opening my eyes spiritually. But I'll tell you what, my eyes was full of water 90% of the time while we preached to them. I didn't do the preaching. I did the reading. But I'm telling you, it just kept me in tears to where I could hardly talk. And all the brothers were just weeping. And when he took a little break, they'd talk to each other and says, I see it. Why didn't we see it? They were mostly, I guess, if not all of them, was Nazarene. And didn't see this way at all, and they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Before we left that place while I was down there that first time, we prayed Brother Green and, what's his name? Brother what? Cyprian. We prayed them both through the Holy Ghost, didn't we? You and I both. And I don't doubt there were some others around us praying, a whole bunch of them. The whole church was gathered around. But they went to speaking in tongues, and we praised the Lord and tore that place up, just shouting and having a time. And I don't know how many other got the Holy Ghost that night. But while we stayed there, at least a week, maybe 2 weeks down there, but that place was tore up. And those people were getting truth, and it was stirring up the Nazarene to do harm to Brother Smith. They tried to tear things up. They wanted to burn the place up, and they didn't get that done, I don't think, but there was a lot of threats. So I'll try to cut this shorter now. I want you to see, folks, that we've got some of the best in the world. And it's hard to say, well, of all the world, isn't there anybody near us or something close? I don't know that. But in my heart and my faith and my confidence, this is the best place. I have no desire to go to any other church, but I do desire to go to the meetings. I do desire to the meetings, but I don't know how long I can stand it or what, or get to it. But nevertheless, I want to, I don't know what word I want to use, but I want to urge us, I guess, to keep seeking to get closer to God by worship. By worship. And I'm just mean in general that on Wednesday night or Sunday night like this, you can tell Brother Smith don't want to get up and teach. It's a time to worship. And that means it's a time to get into the Spirit. Call on the Spirit. Seek the Spirit. Ask God for more of the Holy Ghost. Ask Him for a proof. I need a better word than that. But need to show you and convince us that you really have the Holy Ghost. It's not been past the first of the year. It's back a month or two that I got worried. I got to thinking, how long has it been since I spoke to the Holy Ghost? And I think it was that night or the next that I got right out there and started seeking it. And I got through with it. And all my pains that I carry now were just loosened up. It just seemed like God released me. And I was speaking in tongues and just got to jabbering and couldn't even talk straight. And I was so happy. Yes, I've got it. I've got it again. Thank you, Lord. Now I know you love me again. It comes back to you. And I'm sure that we need to keep that up. We need to keep on seeking the Lord. It's your life. There's some good scriptures. What is it? The first or second Corinthians, the second chapter, talks about you have to have the Holy Ghost to understand spiritual things. Now, if you read it, you'll get the same idea out of it. But you've got to have the Holy Ghost, because teaching from the Word of God will confuse you. It says one word, and you look it up on your Strong's, and it means something literal. It's not spiritual. But our ministers can interpret that, what it means in the spirit. We was talking about the hill. The hills, singing about the hills. And I was reminding him, I said, we know what the hills are. It's where God's people are. It's where they worship. In Zion. And the Bible says hill. You know, many people don't get that. They don't know what that song means. We know. And we can sing about it. And we can worship. And we can praise Him. Because what a God we serve. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel good. But I want to encourage us all. We get stiff. Shy. I was the biggest one of all. For 32 years, from baby until 32 years before I got the Holy Ghost. And my words that took me through was when I said, God, if you don't love me enough to give me the Holy Ghost, and then I repented. I said, no, Lord, I don't mean if you love me enough. I mean whether you give me the Holy Ghost or not. I'm not going to give up. And it wasn't just because I was in love, Joyce. Because I'm right on the verge of going in the military. No, that's when I had got out, and I had gotten out. But this is the night I'm talking about when I got the Holy Ghost. And I sat there, Lord, and I said, whether you give me the Holy Ghost or not, I'm going to keep on going to church. I'm going to keep on seeking. And if you'll keep me, I'll go as far as I can go with you, Lord. And I'll trust that you love me. You know, and I got to feeling good, and I began to forget all about the people around me and those that were praying for me, and my uncle could get his hands off my face and shaking me. Whether they did or not, it didn't bother me. I heard myself speaking in tongues. And when I heard myself speaking in tongues, I really blubbered. I mean, I just went to pieces because I said, He loves me. I said, He loves me. I knew that the Lord was loving me. He gave me the Holy Ghost. Now I know He loved me. And He did it again not too long ago. And I feel like I can get pretty close to Jesus in my own personal prayer. But I'll tell you, the best is right here in church here. And with all you around, with all seeking the Holy Ghost, what a wonderful thing happens. We get in the Spirit. And our purpose is to learn to walk in the Spirit all the time. If we're striving for perfection, we want to live right, don't we? And every little fault we can see in ourselves, it's good to say, oh Lord, forgive me. Immediately. When we know we said something wrong, we even thought something wrong. It could be lust. And when you find yourself in that, say, oh God. You don't have to say it aloud, but you ought to say it in your heart. Say, oh God, help me. God, gird up my mind. Help me, Lord. Think on the good things. And praise the Lord. God bless you.
Including me, you brought.
This has been a good day. Thank you, sisters, for such a good potluck dinner today, fellowship, and the good songs and the good spirit of the Lord. Amen. Let's give him a praise before we go home.